Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The King James renders it similarly. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love the wording, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Nothing measures up to knowing Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, Paul had just been bragging. If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I've got more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. I mean, in his culture, in his day, and by their standards, he had real bragging rights. He was a leader of the community from which he had come. So much so that he'd been given letters of endorsement by the Sanhedrin to go and arrest Christians in Damascus. He was indeed a leader of his community, bragging about his ancestry, bragging about his attainment in the portion of the religious community of which he was a member. It would be like me saying that I was baptized, bragging and saying I was baptized in the second month, an American born of Americans and a Texan born of Texans, a Christian born of Christians, ordained a United Methodist minister with a BA and a Master's of Divinity and a PhD. Wow. Big whoop. People who brag like that make me kind of want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. Yes, I have a PhD. You know, my dad used to say that, and he had a BS, an MS, and a PhD. And my dad used to say that BS meant what you think it means, and MS means more of the same, and PhD means piled higher and deeper. Amen, amen, sister.
Amen.
Amen, brother. And that is true. The more I have learned, however, the more I have discovered I need to learn. I have learned more since I finished my formal education than I learned in all the years leading up to the graduation that I had then. Life applies the learning, expands the learning. And yes, I can be proud of my ancestry. I can be proud of my identity. Sure, we're all that way at one time or another. But no. Paul was bragging to make a point. His detractors, those who were opposed to him in his churches, were following him and saying, "You may be listening to Paul, but we are real Hebrews. We are real Jews. We have real attainment in our community, in our society. We obey the law." And Paul was saying he too was a real Jew, a real Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, and he too had great attainment, and he too obeyed the law. He was bragging to make a point. He was bragging in order to then toss all of that junk aside. After bragging about his attainment in the Jewish faith and culture, he casts it aside in favor of the righteousness of Christ. Are we willing to regard everything? Our successes, our achievements, our victories, our professional status and position in society and family pedigree, our educational attainment and our wealth of things and of money, Are we willing to consider it loss that we might be found in Christ Jesus? Will we? Asking that question of a bunch of preachers is tough. I did. I preached a sermon to a bunch of people, a bunch of clergy in a clergy meeting in a district in another conference about 6 or 7 years ago. And I asked this very question. And a whole bunch of them said, "Amen, brother." But like me, they took great pride in their degrees, in their ordinations, in their identities, in the society, in the church. We all do, in one way or another. After all, it's tough to get where we are. It's tough to live day by day. For his sake, Paul writes, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things." He has left this community that had supported him and commissioned him, and he has gone into the community of the faith, into the community of Jesus Christ, into the body of Christ. He went from being the greatest persecutor of the church to being its greatest proponent, the greatest apostle of Jesus Christ that the church had ever seen. He went from having the commendation and authorization of the Sanhedrin to being sought by them as a criminal and being followed in his churches by people who were proclaiming that he wasn't a real Jew, wasn't a real apostle of God. "For his sake," Paul wrote, "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Rubbish. I love how the King James renders the second half of verse 8. "I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Now, you can't get any more blunt than that, can you? The NRSV cleans it up by saying, "I regard it as rubbish." The King James renders the Greek literally, "Do count it but dung." Dung. Poo-poo. It's what you think it is. It means exactly what you think. "I consider it a bunch of excrement, dung, poo, a bunch of crap. Any and all attainment that I have, anything that I have earned, anything that I have gained through my studies, through my position, through my identity, through my upbringing, it's just a bunch of crap," he said, "compared to knowing the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I've got all my past attainments," and he had a lot of them, "as poop." That's what our abilities produce. Poor approximations of an anemic, humanly defined and limited approximation of God's will. Paul says that he wants to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith, which is the only true righteousness that exists. We may think we're righteous. We may think we're able to approximate God's will for us. We may think we're doing really good by keeping the Ten Commandments and missing 350 other laws that are explicit in Scripture. No, my friends, our righteousness is a bunch of garbage, a bunch of refuse, a bunch of dung. I want to know Christ, he said. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's what this period of preparation in Lent is all about, my friends. This period of preparation leading up to Easter is about coming to the realization that what we want to know is Christ and the power of his resurrection life in us. Do you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection? That's a question, friends.
Yes.
Do you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
They can't hear you over there.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Oh. Oh. Wait a minute. That first part of the sentence is great. We do want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, but this part about sharing his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. Wait a minute, Paul. Do we have to go there? I'm sorry, but we can't have one without the other. We can't have resurrection without dying to self. Without setting aside ourselves. Without counting ourselves as loss. Flushing it like the garbage that it is. All of the stuff that we think is important. We can't have resurrection without turning aside from our own strength, our own abilities, our own attainments. We can't have resurrection until we turn to face Christ's death and our own death in him. If we're going to be raised with Christ, we have to die to ourselves. We have no experience of what it is like to truly live a life of righteousness until we're willing to die to ourselves. And it's then that the rich young ruler would walk away. It's then that those people who were gathering around Jesus and following and listening to him preach would walk away. It's then and there that the disciples would begin to peel off and walk or run away or cower in fear or follow afar off. It's there that Peter would deny him. It's there that we would deny him. For that death part is scary. Dying to self is frightening. It takes trust. It takes faith. It takes a willingness to be open to the grace of God, the transforming power of God, the righteousness of God, not our own, but his righteousness. It takes faith to trust. The same faith that Jesus had when he trusted in the Father to raise him from the dead. Today, as you come to the table of the Lord, today, as you partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion, today, as you come and receive the grace offered here, turn from yourself and turn to Christ. Turn from yourself and the garbage that we cling to and turn to Christ and his death and his resurrection. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.